What a great hymn for us to be singing. A thought that life here is temporary, it is short, but we will live on in eternity. And that is the one hope that we have that binds us together as Christians. What a blessing it's been to assemble together to worship God today. I commend all the men who have led us in our worship. All have done an excellent job in their task, have been prepared, and that has showed. And the way we've all engaged in the singing to uplift one another, to edify one another, to admonish one another, and to offer our praise and honor and thanksgiving to our Heavenly Father as we kiss the hand toward Him, as we studied some in our class out here just this past hour. So very thankful for that. Appreciate our young people here. And the sermon this morning is really directed toward our young people. But as always, we've all got some lessons that we are going to learn. Want to open our Bibles to the book of Ephesians chapter 6. We'll look at verses 1 through 3 in just a moment. As we talk about the command to honor our father and our mother. We know that the law of Moses was done away with. It was fulfilled. It served its purpose. It was taken out of the way. Colossians chapter 2, verse 14. It was nailed to the cross. It died when Jesus died. And we are under a new and better covenant. Yet we know many of the laws that were set forth in the law of Moses are carried over in the new covenant. They're restated because they're based on eternal principles. And one of those is the fifth of the Ten Commandments, to honor your father and your mother. That is restated specifically in the gospel of Jesus Christ in our text from today, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. I want to study this passage as we have it up before us here this morning. We're going to take a look at it piece by piece. And then what I'd like for us to do is step back. And I want us to consider some ways that we can honor and need to honor our parents today. But let's dig into the text as we have before us. Notice first, it's addressed to children. If you overlook the chapter and verse divisions here in the book of Ephesians, Paul has been talking about the home and he's been talking to the husband and the wife at the end of chapter 5. Well, that would naturally lend itself to talking about the others who are in the home, and that would be children. Children are not out of the scope of God's authority. Children don't get a free pass. God is very concerned about children fulfilling the responsibility that he has given them in the home. Children are to obey your parents. God expects children to obey their parents. Children to submit to and respond appropriately to the authority that's been given to the parents. In the home, the parents are in charge. That needs to be understood. In the home, the parents are in charge. Now, just like the husband has head over the wife, as is stated previously in Ephesians chapter 5, if the husband has any intelligence at all, he's going to take the needs of his wife into consideration, and he's going to listen to his wife. Well, the same thing would be true with the parents and the children. The parents are going to take the needs of the children into consideration, and they're going to listen to their children, but that doesn't mean that the children are in charge. The parents are in charge. Children, obey your parents. The only qualifier that is placed on this is that they are to obey in the Lord. That's the only qualification. Nothing is said anywhere in the Bible about a child not having to obey their parents if their parents are not believers. That doesn't exist. Children, obey your parents. Whether they're believers or not, whether they're good people or not, it may be that your parents are not reasonable people. And that would be unfortunate. That would be tragic. But the Bible doesn't say you get a free pass if that's the case. No, you obey your parents in the Lord. In Acts chapter 5 and at verse 29, whenever the Jewish authorities told Peter and John not to preach in the name of Jesus anymore, the response was, we must obey God rather than men. And that placed the apostles in a very difficult position, but they were men and they were able to do that. It's tragic if a child is placed in a position where obeying the parents would cause them to disobey God. And I would hope that that would never happen to any of the young people here. But if that situation ever came up, you would be put in that difficult position of having to obey God and having to make that choice. I hope that never happens to you. I hope that never happens to any of our young people. But you are to obey your parents in the Lord, in doing what the Lord would have you to do. Why? Because it's the right thing to do. Very simple. Because it's the right thing for you to do. The sister passage, companion passage in Colossians chapter 3 and at verse 20 reads this way. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Now think about that. What can you as a young person, as a child, what can you do that will please God? What is it that you could possibly do that would get God's attention and would make God look down and notice you and be pleased with what you do? Maybe if you took your Bible to school, that'd be a good thing. Yeah. Maybe if you invited everyone you knew to come to church and some of them came to church and they sat right next to you at church and went down the Bible class with you, well, that'd be a good thing. But you know how you can please God? Obey your parents. If you'll just obey your parents, that will please God. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother. This obedience that you give to your parents is not to be from a grudging or reluctant heart. Okay, I'll do it. No, it has to be born out of a desire to honor your father and your mother. And what does it mean to honor somebody? It means to esteem them highly because of who they are. It means to think highly of them, to regard them and respect them highly. Another way perhaps to look at it is to place a value on them and to realize how valuable your parents are. Are they the ones who brought you into your very existence? They're the ones who protect you and provide for you and instruct you and help you and love you more than anyone else on the face of the earth. Do I need to go on? Do I need to give you more reasons than that? Your parents are worth the honor. They're worth the respect. They're worth you placing that value upon them. You do this because it's commanded by God. And it is the first commandment with promise. Now, this doesn't mean that this is the first of the Ten Commandments. It's not. It's the fifth. And it doesn't mean it's the first commandment that we read of in the Bible that has a promise connected to it. No. So how is it the first commandment with promise? Well, if we take a look at your life from your birth to your death, the first commandment that you are responsible for obeying is this one. Honor your father and your mother. And it has the promise that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. Well, when that was given in the Ten Commandments, of course, that had to do with them living as a nation and prospering as a nation. And you as an individual being a part of that nation and that land that you're going in to dwell. And we understand here that there are some principles there that would apply. Otherwise, it wouldn't have been restated this way in the New Covenant. It's there, generally speaking, if we will honor our parents, we will equip ourselves with the things that we need to have a long and prosperous life in this world. That doesn't mean that accidents won't happen. I mean, children can be raised up and they can be very good children. And they can honor and love their parents, and a tragic accident could happen. Their life could be caught short. They could fall into circumstances and not prosper so well physically, materially in this world. We understand time and chance happen to us all. But the child who learns to respect and honor and obey their parents will usually be equipped with good character. Things like respect for authority, self-control, a consideration of others, discipline in their thinking and in their living, and these qualities will contribute to one having a long and happy life. So yes, the rule will stand. If we can learn to honor our father and our mother when we are young, that will set us on a path to having a good life. I want to step back from this text, and I want us to consider some ways that we can honor our parents. Obviously, obeying your parents, that's one way that you honor your parents, but there's more to it than that, and I want to take a look at some more things. So let's back away and let's take a look at some different ways. I'm going to say five. That'll give us enough to hold in one hand and take home with us. Five ways that we can honor our parents today. Number one, how about if we listen to our parents? We're going to go back to the book of Proverbs. Now, we were there in our 9 o'clock or 9:30 hour, and let's go back and take a look at some other passages from Proverbs. Unlike that hour, I'm not going to have the verses up on the slides, so we're going to need to turn in our Bible to go back and look at these passages. Proverbs has a lot to say, and appeal is made to the reader to listen, especially listen to your father and your mother. Look at Proverbs 1, verses 8 and 9. My son, hear the instruction of your father, and do not forsake the law of your mother. I want to pause right here. This morning, as I was looking over this material, something stood out to me about this passage. We might have the idea that, well, back in ancient times when Solomon wrote this, women weren't thought of very highly. They were second-class citizens. Not so in this passage. Proverbs says, you listen to what your mother has to tell you. Listen to her. Listen to your father, and don't forget the law of your mother. For they will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck. Chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. Hear, my children, the instruction of a father, and give attention to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Do not forsake my law. When I was my father's son, tender and the only one in the sight of my mother, he also taught me and said to me, let your heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live. Let's pause right here. Think about what's being said right here. Son, you need to listen to me because I was once where you are, and I needed to listen to my father. Whatever it is that you do in your life, your parents have always been there before you. So you need to listen to them. You need to listen to them. They have things that are worth hearing. They have experienced things that you have yet to experience. Maybe not with the same technology that you had, or maybe not with the same terms that are being used today, but your parents have experienced all the things that you have yet to experience. You need to listen to what they have to say. Your parents, just by experience, have earned what we call the benefit of the doubt. Listen to what they have to say. That's how you honor your parents. Proverbs 23 says, and at verse 22, listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Okay, this brings something else into consideration. This isn't just talking about when you're young, a young child in your home, and your mother is young. No, when you get older and your mother has gotten older, You listen to her. You listen to her because she's still experiencing things that you have yet to experience. And there's still some things that you can learn from her. So you honor your parents by listening to them. Their voice deserves to be heard, and their advice deserves to be trusted. Don't talk back. Don't insult your parents. Listen to what they have to say. That's one way you can honor your father and your mother, just by listening to them and showing them that respect. Secondly, you can honor your parents. We can honor our parents by the way we talk. By the way we talk. Proverbs 20 and verse 20. Proverbs 20 and verse 20. Whoever curses his father or mother, his lamp will be put out in deep darkness. What does that mean? His lamp will be put out in deep darkness. Well, that would be an Old Testament way of saying not only is their life going to come to an end, but their memory will come to an end. Their reputation, their legacy, whatever it is that they were hoping to leave behind, it's going to be nothing. They're going to be gone, and the world's going to say good riddance. If we have that dishonor for our parents, whoever curses his father or his mother. Under the law of Moses, this child would be put to death. Exodus chapter 21 and at verse 17. We honor our parents by speaking respectfully to them. How do you talk to your parents? How do you talk to your mom or your dad? How do you talk to them when you don't agree with them? How do you talk to your mom and your dad whenever they have interrupted you in doing something that you're really enjoying doing and they've told you you need to stop that and you need to go do something else? How do you talk to your parents? Do you express gratitude to your parents? Thank you for the food that I had to eat three times today. Thank you for the clothes that I have to wear. Thank you for making sure that I can sleep indoors today when it gets so cold outside. Do you express gratitude to your parents? Do you show kindness? Do you respect them in the tone that you use when you talk to them? Again, this morning, as I was looking over these notes, I got to thinking about me and my dad. My dad would have turned 75 a couple of weeks ago, the day after Thanksgiving. And that's a milestone, and I hate that we missed it. In my entire adult life with my dad, I don't ever remember raising my voice to him. Because, quite honestly, he could have knocked me across the room. But I don't remember ever raising my voice. I think I did it when I was a stupid teenager, a time or two. But I never did it as an adult. Now, when he was in the last couple weeks of his life, and I went out to be with him and help mom with him, my sister, we were having to jump through some serious hoops to get him put in hospice care. My dad quit going to his doctor, and so you had to have a doctor to take care of all that. Well, dad and doctors didn't get along real well. That might be why he missed his 75th birthday. But I was on the phone with an administrator from hospice, and they needed Dad's Social Security number, and I didn't know it right off. And so I said, Dad, we need your Social Security. Why do you need that? And I said, Dad, just give me that number. And he gave it to me. And I went in the other room, and I talked with the administrator, and I said, I'm really sorry. My dad's having a difficult time right now, and I apologize. And they said, oh, you know, they've seen it all. And they said, that's okay. That's all right. And I hung up the phone, and I drug myself back into the room where Dad was at, and everything calmed down. I said, Dad, I'm sorry I talked to you like that. He said, like what? didn't faze him a bit. I still have a hard time with that. You don't talk back to your parents. You just don't do that. You honor your father and your mother by the way you talk to them and the tone that you use when you talk to them. You honor your parents by the way you talk about them. How do you talk about your mom and dad when they're not around? You've gone to school, maybe you're at co-op, you're not with them any longer, you're playing sports, you're over at a friend's house, mom and dad aren't there, and they start in on, and let me tell you, my parents are so dumb. Well, do you jump in on that? Well, let me tell you how dumb my mom and dad are. That's being disrespectful. You don't do that. We honor our parents by the way we talk about them. And again, how about now that you've grown? How do you talk about your mom and dad? How do you talk about your in-laws? Do we honor our parents by speaking respectfully about them? The way that we talk in general shows whether we honor our parents or not. Let me show you a few verses from Ephesians chapters 4 and 5. Then we'll go back to look at some passages in Proverbs. Ephesians 4, verse 25. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor. Don't lie. Don't lie to your parents. Don't lie for your parents. Don't lie, period. That's dishonoring your parents. Down in verse 29. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. I had a filthy mouth when I was younger. And bad words would just flow right out of my mouth without me thinking about them. I remember one time, and I remember this, I was walking, it was just me and my mom, and we were in the mall in Fayetteville, Arkansas. And we were walking, and a subject came up, and I mentioned something, and I said something, and some four-letter words flew out of my mouth. And it didn't dawn on me until we'd taken about 10 steps what I'd just done. But what hurt me the most is that my mother wasn't surprised to hear that come out of my mouth. And that still bothers me today. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. Chapter 5 and at verse 4, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting. There's some things you don't need to be saying, jokes you don't need to be repeating, escapades you don't need to be talking about. You don't even understand that stuff anyways. You don't need to be talking about that. How do you honor your parents? You honor your parents by the way that you talk. And then, of course, connected with that, we honor our parents by the way that we act. Our behavior is actually an advertisement for the home that we are a product of. The way people see us behaving tells them about our mom and dad and the job that they're doing raising us. And so your parents have every right to be concerned about the way that you act, even after you've reached adulthood. Let's run through these passages very quickly here. They're very much in common. They're repeating something. By the way, when your parents repeat something to you, it's important. And so when the Bible repeats something to us, it's important. We need to pay attention. Proverbs chapter 15 and at verse 20. A wise son makes a father glad, but a foolish man despises his mother. Chapter 17 and verse 25. A foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to her who bore him. Chapter 19 and at verse 13. A foolish son is the ruin of his father. The ruin. Have you ever been watching television, watching the local news, and they talk about somebody who committed some crime and they put their mugshot on television? That's somebody's child. That person has a mother and a father that has to live with that. Do we ever think about that? The ruin of a father. Now, the way we act, our parents have a right to be concerned about that. In the book, let's go from Proverbs in the other direction. Let's go to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 1. Eli was the high priest, and he may have been a good priest, and he was looked upon as a leader in Israel, but he was a terrible father. And the Bible makes that clear. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 22 through 24. Now, Eli was very old, and he heard everything his sons did to all Israel, and how they lay with the women who assembled at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. Now, that's terrible. That is terrible. So he said to them, "Why do you do such things? For I hear of your evil dealings from all the people. No, my sons, for it is not a good report that I hear, for you make the Lord's people transgress." Eli's sons disrespected him. They dishonored him by their behavior. Now, it's Samuel, young Samuel, who's put in the care of Eli, who becomes a prophet, and the first prophecy he receives is the judgment that God is bringing on the house of Eli because of his failure as a father. So we think, oh, okay, things have got to be better here, right? No. Samuel has the same problem. The same problem. Turn over to chapter 8. 1 Samuel chapter 8. Remember here that the people of Israel come to Samuel and say, "We want a king. We want a king just like all the nations around us." And we tend to think that because of the way Samuel responds and because of the way God responds back to him, that this is against God, that they're through with God and they're casting off God. But that's not the reason. Look here in chapter 8, verse 1. "Now it came to pass when Samuel was old that he made his sons judges over Israel. The name of the first one was Joel, and the name of the second, Abijah. They were judges in Beersheba. But his sons did not walk in his ways. They turned aside after dishonest gain, took bribes, and perverted justice." Now, maybe they weren't doing things that were as detestable as the sons of Eli, but they're doing things here that God later on through the prophets is going to give strong condemnation to the leaders of Israel for. Taking bribes and perverting justice. "Then all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah and said to him, 'Look, you are old and your sons do not walk in your ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations.'" Samuel was dishonored by the behavior of his sons. Don't do that to your parents. Don't do that to your mother and your father. The way you act as a child in their home and the way you act as an adult outside of their home reflects upon them. It always will. Don't dishonor your parents in the way that you act. Do what is right. Fourth, respect their wishes. How can we honor our parents? Let's respect their wishes. There's a saying that's been around a long time, and it's accredited to several different people. It says that character is the way you act when no one is looking. Or character is who you are when no one is watching. I guess if you change the words up a little bit, then you can take credit for it. But that's the idea. How do you act when no one is looking? How do you act when your parents aren't around? It says a lot about you as a young person. It says a lot about you as a person in general. How you act when your parents are not around. The real test of whether we honor our parents comes when we're out of their presence. I've got Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8 here. Daniel was among many who were taken out of Judah and taken away to Babylon. Daniel was a young man. He was a teenager at the time. He was taken away from his home. I don't know if he was taken from his parents or not. But that didn't matter. Chapter 1, verse 8 of Daniel says he determined that he would not defile himself. He wasn't going to do what was wrong just because he was taken away from home. Away from home, he was going to do what was right. How about you? Do you act one way when you're at home in front of your mom and dad and another way when you're at school? You act one way when you're face to face with your mom and dad and another way when you're online? No, you need to respect your parents' wishes. There comes a point at which every child knows what their parents expect of them, what their parents' standards are, what their boundaries are, how their parents would respond to things. The way you honor your parents is by remaining loyal to their standards and their expectations. That's how you honor your father and your mother. And then finally, let's fast forward this. We respect our parents by caring for our parents. As we turn back to the New Testament, 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5. One of the paradoxes of life is that if the Lord allows, the relationship that we have with our parents will eventually shift from us being dependent on them to them being dependent on us. That will happen. Paul is writing to Timothy and giving him instructions regarding the care that the local church is to give to widows. Now, these instructions are given at a time when there is no Social Security, there is no Medicare. If a person was blessed to live beyond an age when they could work and provide for themselves, they were at the mercy of their family to take care of them. The church could step in and take care of those who had no one else to care for them, but if family was still in the picture, they had the responsibility. And Paul makes that clear. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 3, honor widows who are really widows. What do you mean by that, Paul? But if any widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show piety at home and to, get this, repay their parents, for this is good and acceptable before God. The family needs to take care of this widow. Down in verse 8, but if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. I've preached from this text many times, many others have as well, that if you are a father and you've got young children, you've got to take care of your household. But in the immediate context, this is talking about an adult child taking care of their aged parents. And those who refuse to do so have denied the faith. They're worse than an unbeliever. They are disobeying the gospel of Jesus Christ. There comes a point in life when we're going to have to repay our parents for the loving care that they have given us when we were children and growing up. And they're going to need that patience. And they're going to need that care. And they're going to need that tenderness and that kindness that they gave us when we needed it from them. And I realize that for many individuals, it's necessary to put an aged loved one in a facility where they can get the care that they need. That's a world different than dumping mom or dad in a nursing home because we don't want to take care of them. There's a big difference between the two. One is still honoring the father and the mother. The other is worse than an infidel. How do we honor our parents? We honor our parents by stepping up and taking care of them when they need to be taken care of. When I went and took part in my grandfather's funeral, this would be my dad's dad, I made the observation that I really appreciated my dad and his older brother at that time coming and in essence, taking turns living with my grandparents while they took care of my grandfather. They didn't put him in a home. He was blessed to be able to live out his days in his house. But it wasn't easy on my dad. And it wasn't easy on his brother. They had a lot put on their shoulders. And I made the statement then that while I appreciated that, I'm afraid that he's going to expect me to do the same. And a couple of years ago, I spoke with the elders of the congregation. I said, my dad is dying, and I need to go and help my mom. And they said, go. And I didn't know how long I would be. It was just a couple of weeks. But I don't regret it. It was hard. I saw some things. I experienced some things I wish I could forget. That's honoring your father and your mother. That's a part of it. There may come a day when you have to do the same thing. It's what God expects of you. And he'll give us the strength to be able to do it. Every member of the family has a role to play for the home to be what God has created it to be. God has given the greater responsibility to the adults, to the father and the mother. They're the adults. But God hasn't given the children a free pass. Children are to obey their parents and honor their parents. Why? Because this pleases God. That's how you please God, is by honoring and obeying your parents. And when you get older and you move out and you start life on your own, and maybe someday you become parents, a parent yourself, you still honor your father and your mother. Even after they're gone, you honor your father and your mother. Why? Because it's the right thing to do. It's the right thing to do. Isn't it interesting that the first command that we're given is a command that we never outgrow? Let's honor our father and our mother. I realize that I have taken us into some rather dark spots with our study today. Maybe I've taken advantage of the pulpit and talked about some personal things, maybe that I shouldn't have. I appreciate you letting me go through that therapy. And I hope it helps. I hope it helps to know that we're all in this and we all have to face these challenges. And a lot of us have these things in common, and we don't have to bear these burdens by ourselves. We can help each other through that. But I thank you very much. As we've talked about this one aspect of home improvement, our young people have a role to play. Is God your father? Is God your spiritual father? Are you his child? Not by creation, but by a new birth. Made possible by the shed blood of Jesus Christ, this blood that we're about to sing about. This blood that washes away our sins as it washed away your sins. Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Will you repent of your sins and confess your faith and be baptized in water to have those sins washed away? We'd be glad to help you do that. Maybe you've done that and you need to make things right in a public way. Maybe you've sinned regarding what we've talked about today. Maybe it's something else and you need to take care of that. We'd be glad to help you as well. Or maybe you're burdened and you just need our prayers today. We'd be glad to pray with you. Whatever your need is, let it be made known by coming forward as we stand and sing this invitation song.